Morning, your King James Bibles, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, if you would please, this morning, and chapter number 21. Matthew chapter number 21. I want to look at some verses of Scripture here this morning. I don't think I've ever preached from these verses of Scripture that I can remember, but I want to preach from them this morning with the help of the Lord, and I pray that God will help each of us to search our hearts. Of course, we've been studying quite a bit in the Gospel of Matthew over this past year, and back a few weeks ago, of course, we was looking there here in this same chapter where Jesus, of course, cleanses the temple, and certainly the next thing that we find here in this chapter is we find that he, of course, comes to the fig tree and curses the fig tree. Now, begin to look at these verses of Scripture, and the Lord placed upon my heart this thought for this morning, and I pray that our ears will be open and our hearts will be tender, and we'll allow the Spirit of God to speak to each of us here this morning and certainly help us to search our hearts. And if things are not right between you and the Lord, I pray that certainly that you would do so and get things right today. And for the Christian today, how we should rejoice and be encouraged that we should bring forth fruit for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thought that I have this morning that the Lord's placed upon my heart would just simply be this: when Jesus inspects me, what does he see? When Jesus inspects me, what does he see? I want you to think about that as we read the verses of Scripture, give you just a few brief thoughts from these verses of Scripture this morning. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, and certainly if you're not, that's okay. Matthew chapter number 21, starting in verse number 18. The Bible says, "Now in the morning, as he returned," speaking of Jesus now, "and into the city," and notice the Bible says, "he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." So may the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Lord, to thank you, Father, for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you again for the privilege, Lord, just to be back in your house this morning. Thank you for the teaching of the Word of God in the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the beautiful singing, Lord, the worship time, and, Lord, all that's been done, Father, in your name. I do pray now, Father, for just a few moments now, this morning, God, that you would touch and anoint these lips of clay. Lord, I pray as I stand in this place, I realize I stand, Father, in great need today of your touch and of your anointing. God, I pray that you would use me now, Father, for just a little while. God, I yield myself to you. I pray you'd forgive me, Lord, of any sin, any shortcoming this morning. God, that you may be able to speak to me and speak through me this morning. Lord, those words that are so needed, no doubt, Father, in this service today. I pray again that ears will be open, hearts will be tender. And God, I pray that you'd help each of us to search our hearts. And Lord, as you do inspect each of us, I wonder this morning, what do you see? I pray this morning, God, most of all, if there's one here today, and Lord, they've never come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that the Holy Ghost of God will convict them and draw them. And Father, this very day, Lord, they would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I pray, help us to honor you, to worship you, and to glorify you. And Lord, I pray again, Father, you do that for us today, which we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, we're going to thank you, we're going to praise you for all that you do. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments this morning, I again want to look and consider the thought now from these verses of Scripture is when Jesus inspects me, what does he see? In today's text, Jesus comes to the fig tree and inspects it and finds no fruit on the tree. Again, I pray that each of us would allow the Spirit of God and the Scriptures to search our hearts and lives to see if we are just mere professors of the Lord Jesus Christ, or are we genuine possessors of Christ today, bringing forth fruit as he has commanded and equipped us to do. We can't do it this morning without him. And certainly today I want us to consider from these verses, when Jesus inspects me, what does he see? Now we find in this great text, of course, this morning, several different things. And even, of course, the thought on prayer. And we may share that if we have time this morning. But I want you to understand something today that the Lord knows about each and every one of us here this morning. There's not one aspect about my life or about your life that he does not know about. I'm glad today, thank God, even in all that, that we have a Savior this morning that loves us and will forgive us and save us and redeem us. And when he does so, he wants you and I to bring forth fruit, certainly. And we find that throughout the Scriptures, especially in the teaching of John, bringing forth fruit and more fruit and much fruit. Abraham Lincoln, of course, President of the United States, he made this statement, you can fool all the people some of the time, and some of the people all the time. But you cannot fool all the people all the time. And so this morning, we realize that a lot of people today certainly put on a facade. Maybe they go to church once in a while, or maybe they do this or they do that. But friend, we come down to the real nuts and bolts of this thing this morning, and where the rubber meets the road, are we truly bringing forth fruit for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his cause? As Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. And I wrote this down this morning. Of course, you already know this, and we've already said this, but I want to say it again. You can't fool God any of the time. He already knows today. He knows all about us this morning. And so I want us to think about that in the light of this text that we have before us this morning. First of all, I want you to notice, starting in verse number 18 today, we see his appetite. In other words, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that in verse number 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, the Bible says that he hungered. That he hungered. In other words, we find his appetite here. In other words, he was physical hunger here, as we well note here from the text. And certainly we know that he was 100% man and 100% God. And certainly you say, preacher, can you explain all that? Certainly I cannot today, but he was. But not only did Jesus hunger physically, and of course we know that he did from this text, but then certainly what each of us need to consider, is there a spiritual hunger in our hearts and hearts and lives today for the things of God? Certainly today there should be not only the physical hunger, but there should be the spiritual hunger as well. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 6, he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I'm so thankful today that we have a Heavenly Father for those that are truly seeking after the spiritual things and hungering after the spiritual things, that certainly he and only he can fulfill that in our hearts and our lives. Friend, if you're looking for that somewhere else today, nothing else I can fulfill that for you today other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do I find his appetite here, secondly, I find this morning his attention. His attention now is drawn to the fig tree. Now remember, he's hungry physically, and he's looking for something to eat. He's looking for some fruit. And so we find that his attention is drawn to the fig tree. Now some think, of course, from this text today, and as you study your Bible, of course, the fig tree is symbolic of the nation of Israel. And of course, at this time, we know that Jesus has already been in the temple and purified the temple and cleansed the temple, if you will. And certainly we find that as he's using this fig tree as an illustration, as a sermon illustration, if you will, we find here, of course, in this text that it could possibly be talking certainly or be symbolic of the nation of Israel, of dead religion, of deeds and rituals, of no dedication in the relationship with the true and the living God. A lot of people claim a lot of things today, but can I ask you a question this morning, or more importantly today, I pray that the Holy Spirit would help each of us to search our hearts this morning. Do you have a true, a genuine personal relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Dead religion this morning, my friend, will not bring forth fruit. Dead rituals this morning will not bring forth fruit for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here his attention is drawn unto this fig tree. Now, of course, fig trees were something that was prominent there in the land of Israel, and certainly there even today. And so some think that it's symbolic of Israel. And of course, we find back in the same chapter in the verses preceding of his disgust with the money changers and all that was taking place there within the temple as far as false religion is concerned. And so not only do we find that it's symbolic of Israel, but also it's symbolic concerning those that are living a life of hypocrisy. Now, I know that I knew we were going to get a whole lot of amens right there. But unfortunately, we're living in a time, I'm afraid many people are living a life of hypocrisy. And we find Jesus even deals with that, dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and even a lot of the religious leaders of that day. And so as we think about the symbolic meaning again of this fig tree that has leaves but yet no fruit, the word hypocrite, of course, as you study it out, it actually means to play act. That's what the word means. It means to play act. And I'm afraid today, friend, search your heart. This is nothing to play around with. Amen? The things of God are not to be played around with. Your eternal soul is not to be played around with. I'm telling you what, friend, there's going to come a day that we're going to close our eyes in death. And friend, when we close our eyes in death, the only thing that's going to matter today, my friend, is do you have that personal, genuine relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or have you been play-acting? Have you been playing the game and going along with the game? Oh, my friend, today, I pray God would help each of us today, oh, to search our hearts. I'm telling you, friend, there's nothing no greater than having a personal relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah today. Aren't you glad that he saves and redeems and he changes our life and he gives us direction today? Thank God. And he wants us to go forth and bring forth fruit for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Notice his appetite. But then notice his attention is drawn to this fig tree. Now, that just wasn't happenstance, by the way. Jesus knew the tree was there before it was ever there. Why? Because he's God. Just like he knows your life and he knows my life. You can fool some of the people some of the time. I'm telling you, friend, but you cannot fool God any of the time. He knows our hearts and he knows our lives. I find in his attention to this fig tree, again, some think it being symbolic of Israel. Also, I believe it could be a symbolic concerning a hypocrisy and those that are play-acting, those who profess but do not genuinely possess the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say that today in accordance to Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 33, where the Bible says, "For the tree is known by his fruit." If you and I are genuinely saved and we're certainly genuine born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, somewhere our life is going to bring forth fruit for the honor and glory of God. And when our lives cease to bring forth fruit, God can make other arrangements as well. So I want you to notice not only his appetite and his attention, but thirdly, I want you to notice the appearance of the fig tree. Notice, first of all, as you look at this fig tree in verse number 19, he says, "And when he saw a fig tree in the way," notice he came to it and found nothing thereon, but now notice what the text says, "but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away." Now this is taking place right in the sight of the disciples, right? They are eyewitnesses again to another miracle that Jesus is performing here. What's he doing? He's trying to teach them something, as he always is. And not only is he trying to teach them something, but he's trying to teach you and I something as well. We each need to allow, when Jesus inspects me, I didn't say when Jesus inspects you. I said when Jesus inspects me, I wonder what does he see. I wonder when he inspects you this morning, and you taking that personally to him today, what does he see? We find here the appearance of the fig tree. Notice some things about this as he comes to this fig tree. Number one, we find he personally inspects the fig tree. He comes up to the fig tree and he begins to look at it. Now again, he already knew everything about it, but again, he is using this as a sermon illustration, if you will. And as he looks at that fig tree, he begins to find some things out about it. He personally inspects it. Now, we spend a lot of time inspecting others. Huh? Oh, yeah. If we're not careful, we'll spend more time inspecting others rather than ourselves. Oh, Lord, help us today. All we can see is the outer appearance. I'm glad God looks upon the heart. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in my heart this morning. And as he looks at me, what does he see? When he looks at you, what does he see? Notice not only his personal inspection of the fig tree, but then notice the production of fruit. The Bible says that he found nothing. There's nothing on the fig tree. What's a tree supposed to do? A fig tree or any other kind of fruit tree. It's supposed to bear fruit. What is a Christian supposed to do today? They're supposed to bear fruit that brings forth honor and glory to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I'm telling you today, we better allow the Spirit of God to inspect our hearts and inspect our lives, and you and I to be honest before a holy God that, thank God, we're bringing forth fruit for his honor and for his glory. Notice his attention is drawn to this fig tree. Notice the appearance of the fig tree. We find his personal inspection of the fig tree. We find the production of fruit. He found nothing. Notice not only the production of the fruit, but notice the performance of the tree. The performance of the tree. Again, no fruit, but leaves only. In other words, I believe it illustrates to you and I this morning, or within my thinking as the Lord's placed this upon my heart, it's showing an outward appearance of a fig tree. It looks like a fig tree. Now, let me say this before I move on. I believe a Christian ought to look like a Christian. Amen. I believe we ought to present ourselves as a Christian. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it's more than just the outer appearance that makes a difference. It's what lies within the heart of the individual. Notice again the performance of the truth. And the reason I say that, I want to give you something this morning about this. Again, no fruit, but leaves only. The fig tree, according to what I could find, or most of the fig trees, the fig tree puts forth its fruit before it does its leaves. Early in the year, you can see green knobs put forth at the ends and points of branches. And these, as they swell, turn out to be, of course, green figs. And then the leaves come forward afterwards. And by the time the tree is fully covered with leaves, the figs are ready for eating. You say, what's that got to do with the message today? Jesus comes to the fig tree, correct? And it's got leaves. It's got an outward appearance of a fig tree, but it has no fruit. It has no fruit. Jesus is hungry. Jesus is looking for something to eat. He's physically hungry. But greater than that, there's a great spiritual need. See, this morning, you and I should have a great spiritual hunger, as we've already said this morning, for the things of God. And we should, and in that hunger, we should bring forth fruit today that would be pleasing unto the Master. And not only pleasing to the Master today, but it might point others. Hallelujah. Think about this. Others that are hungry and thank God looking for the things of God and searching for the things of God. Hallelujah this morning. There ought to be some fruit coming forth from our lives that we can, they can see that we're genuine, that there's something different about our lives today. And friend, Jesus still makes a difference in an old sinner's life. He changes us and gives us something to do for the honor and the glory of Almighty God today, my friend. But here's a tree. It looks like a fig tree. Matter of fact, it's a fig tree. But it has no fruit on its branches. Today, I wrote this down. I'm afraid sometimes the reason there's no fruit is there's been no genuine repentance. Amen. I believe in a child of God today, in a person or an individual that truly wants to get right with God and begin to bring forth a fruit in their life that would bring honor and glory to God, there will be genuine repentance. Could I say even to the Christians today, there needs to be times of repentance. Oh, we think repentance is only for the drunkard and the harlot and the dope addict and for the one that's lost in their sin. And thank God, I'm glad they can and should repent. But there's times in our lives, even as children of God, if we're not careful today, my friend, we'll allow the things of the world to overtake us. Now, friend, I'll tell you what, if we're not careful, we'll begin to let sin slip into our lives. Oh, God, help us today. Thank God that we would repent and get right with God, that we might bring forth fruit again for the honor and glory of God. The child of God today, that no fruit represents no repentance to the individual without Christ, no faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see not only today do I see this morning his appetite, not only do I see his attention, but then I see the appearance of the fig tree. Jesus was disappointed when he went to the fig tree. He was wanting something to eat. It's got leaves on it. It's supposed to have fruit on it. But when he inspects it, Jesus was disappointed because there was no fruit. Do you understand today there's going to be a time that each of us stand before the judgment seat of Christ? If you're saved by the grace of God this morning, there's going to be a day that each of us will stand before the great judgment seat of Christ and give an account of our life. And Lord, I tell you what, I want to think that I've brought forth some fruit. Maybe not as much as I should have and could have. But Lord, help us today to be determined not to just have an outward appearance of Christianity, but to be bringing forth fruit. Notice the appearance. A lot of people today look good on the outside, but inside, their heart's not right with God. Help us today, Lord, to search our hearts. But then I want you to notice the action of Jesus here in this verse number 19. When he found that there was no fruit, there was leaves only, he said unto it, "Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever." And presently the fig tree withered away. Right there in front of those disciples, that fig tree withers away. Now God loves us and God is long-suffering and merciful to us. And again, it can be symbolic of Israel and how they had strayed from God. But I also believe today it can be symbolic of that person that professes but yet not possesses the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it also could be symbolic of that Christian today, that one that's truly born again, but yet they have strayed from God and unwilling to come back to Him today. God put us in this world. God can take us out. Huh? Oh, absolutely. I tell you what, I want to stay just as long as I can and be faithful to Him as long as I can and to bear fruit for His cause as long as I can. And that should be the desire of each of us here this morning. I want you to notice His action here to the fig tree. Number one, we see a perpetual barrenness. The Bible says it withered away. It withered away. And we know today that the ultimate judge, as we've already said, is Jesus Himself. And by the way, if you don't stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you will stand one day at the great white throne judgment. You don't want to be at that judgment, because that will be an eternal separation from everything that's good for all eternity. Notice today in His action, not only do I see a perpetual barrenness, and I thought about this as you think about the fig tree and Jesus being the ultimate judge. The first Adam looked for leaves for a covering. Remember back in the book of Genesis, it talked about fig leaves? That they covered themselves after they had sinned against God. They tried to cover their own sin. Kind of a whole lot like we are today if we're not careful. You can fool mama. You can fool daddy. You can fool the preacher. You can fool the Sunday school teacher. You can fool your husband. You can fool your wife. But you can't fool God. The first Adam tried to hide himself. He looked for leaves for a covering. The second Adam, he came looking for fruit. Notice in the text, he comes to the fig tree, not to get leaves for a covering, but looking for fruit. What's he looking for in my life? He's looking for fruit. If I had time this morning, you can go to the book of Galatians in chapter number 5. And the Bible begins to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Just ask yourself this morning, or allow the Holy Spirit of God to ask each of us today here, are we bringing forth this kind of fruit? Fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is things like this: love. Amen. The first fruit. Adam come looking for a covering. Jesus come looking for fruit. When he comes to looking at me and he comes inspecting you and he comes inspecting me, he's looking for fruit. And by the way, people that's inspecting our lives around us is looking for the same thing. As I said, we do a lot of times spend more time looking at others rather than ourselves. But But Jesus is looking for fruit. Number one, love. Man, what a great fruit. What a great fruit. Loving God and loving one another and loving your neighbor as yourself and all those things. Hallelujah. Thank God there ought to be the fruit of love coming forth from our life. What about joy? Some of you I'm a little concerned about this morning. Ought to be some joy. What was that old song? I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Oh, where? That ought to be a fruit. Hey, we all go through tough times. I'll be honest with you. We as a church are going through some tough times. I don't understand all that. Don't have the answer to all that. But even in the midst of all that, I'm glad, thank God, it's well with my soul. Hey, the storm may be raging. The wind may be blowing. The waves may be high. But hallelujah, at the end of the day, my God, hallelujah, shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. Hallelujah, He'll never leave us. And He'll never forsake us. And never promise that He's made us. He will fulfill. That ought to put a joy in our hearts this morning. It ought to come forth from our life. There's love, there's joy, and I don't have time to go over all these this morning. But there ought to be love, there ought to be joy. How about peace? Oh, that peace. Oh, that peace that passes all understanding. That peace when the storms are raging and the winds are blowing and the waves are high. I'm glad Jesus can step out in the midst of that storm and say, peace, be still. That ought to be coming forth from our life. Not only love and joy and peace, but what about long-suffering? Long-suffering. What about gentleness? What about goodness? Hey! That sounds like somebody I want to hang out with. Huh? That sounds like somebody I'd be interested in sitting down and talking to and fellowshipping with. Well, that's the kind of fruit that the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. When Jesus inspects me, I wonder what he sees. Does he see somebody that's grumpy all the time? Oh, my. Mad all the time, mean all the time. I'll be honest with you. Some of the meanest people I've ever dealt with from time to time have been people who go to church. Now, notice I said they go to church. How could you be that mean all the time? And say you're a child of God. Now, I'm not saying sometimes we all don't stray a little. Huh? Oh, yeah, let's not be pinning no wings and halos on this morning. But there ought to be something coming forth from our life. Notice his action again. The action of Jesus. That fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Is that the fruit? When Jesus inspects me, is that what he sees? when I come in contact with people? Is that what they see? Now, again, we're all going to have some bad moments and bad, I mean, you know, come on. But to do it every day? Or to shout from the rooftop here and then go out in the world and live right the opposite? When Jesus inspects me, I wonder what he sees. Does he see something that's genuine? Does he see fruit today? Or does he just see somebody that professes but yet not possesses and bears fruit? Notice he comes to the tree. His action against this tree is a perpetual barrenness to this tree. Then I want you to notice, lastly this morning, his abundant promise. Notice, let's look in verse 20. Notice the disciples take notice. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon is the fig tree withered away?" Then verse 21 and 22, notice again his abundant promise. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, you ought to say that with me, all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." He's teaching these disciples not only about this fig tree and how he had, if you will, cursed this fig tree, it begins to wither away. Jesus begins to teach these disciples that if they will put their faith and their trust in him, believing, asking and believing, that God can give us power to do what we need to do and be the people that we need to be. Because I'm going to tell you something, you cannot bear fruit on your own. He's the vine and we are the branches. And notice in that text in John, I don't have time to get into all of it, he says, "Abide in me and I abide in you and you shall bring forth fruit." You can't do this by yourself. I can't do this by myself. I've got to have his help. And thank God, I'm glad his help is available. Quit trying to do it yourself and depend on the one that can and will help you today. Notice again in this abundant promise, the asking, the believing, the receiving. See, we can't change our own hearts. Neither can we change the hearts of others. But I'm glad through the avenue of prayer, God can help me and God can help you to be the people he wants us to be. When Jesus inspects me, I wonder, what does he see? Should be our desire today that each of us that are saved by the grace of God, that we would desire to bring forth fruit, that we bring honor and glory to God, and to reach others with the truth of the gospel. And if you're here today and you've never been saved, I'm talking about genuinely born again. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I wouldn't put it off another moment. I wouldn't put it off another minute. Because each of us will stand before God one day. And friend, if you try to stand on your own goodness, your own works, you'll be very, very disappointed. Because you can't do it on your own. You got to have him. When Jesus inspects me, What does he see? Does he see a tree that has leaves, but it has no fruit? Lord, help us today that we bear fruit. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scotty, come and get us a song. Father, sure do love you today. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving every individual in this building today. And Lord, I don't know the need of this hour, but Lord, you do. And Lord, I pray that you have challenged other hearts, Lord, as you have challenged mine. That Lord, we would want to all bring forth fruit. Lord, that you be pleased with. You come to this fig tree and Lord, you was hungry. Lord, you was wanting to see fruit. But Lord, there was no fruit there. And Lord, I truly believe as you look at my life and look at the lives of all those today that have called upon you for salvation, Lord, you're looking. You're looking for some fruit. And then for that one today that may have made a profession, but Lord, there's no true possession. There's never been a change. There's not been repentance. There's not been true and genuine faith. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray today, Father, would you prick their heart? How sad it's going to be one day when somebody in this building may close their eyes in death, knowing things was not genuine in her heart. Lord, time's running out. I pray right now in the stillness of this invitation, you'd help each of us to consider our own personal relationship. And then also our production of fruit. Lord, as you inspect me, what do you see? Help each of us to search our hearts. Help us to be obedient in this invitation. For someone lost, Lord, I pray they come. Someone here today. Lord, maybe they strayed. I pray today, Lord, help them to get things right with you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being long-suffering and merciful and patient. But help us today, we consider our relationship with you and our standing with others. And it's in Christ's name, as every head's bowed, every eye's closed, as if...